Session number 778, Mr. Weeks, Reel 1.
And before the Invergordon event, on any of your other ships or shore barracks come to
yes.
that, had there been much unrest in the lower deck about service conditions before the Invergordon mutiny?
No, the conditions on the lower deck between the officers aft and the seamen forward were in excellent condition. And when the Invergordon stunt did start, it was due to the political situation only.
So before Invergordon, you never saw any lower deck
unrest on ships at all? Yeah. No, definitely no trouble. No.
At Invergordon itself, what happened aboard the Warspite on the days of the mutiny?
Well, I'll go from the very start. When we left Portsmouth, we went up to Invergordon like on the, what's name, to do our fleet exercises and things like that. And it was only when we got more or less to the anchorage in Scapa that anything untoward was happening, you see. Everything on board was even ordinary, because we had not got any news. We'd been at sea quite a while. We didn't know about the Ramsay MacDonald incident of the pay until we got into Invergordon.
What happened then?
Well, the incident was, which I've covered here, as I read it.
Well, just tell me what you remember.
Well, when we got to the anchorage at the time of it, all junior ship, we were the flag, you see, carrying the flag of the Admiral at the time. And all junior ships, as we pass, automatically sound the still. Everybody springs to the attention, you see, and officers salute from both ships. But the junior calls the attention first, you see. Well, we, coming in from outside at sea, was unbeknown what had been happening in Invergordon until we actually got there. Then, as we passed each ship, we noticed that things were sort of not natural.
What sort of things?
Well, in the case of the Valiant, there was a piano up on the top of a turret, you see. Most unusual, you see. And when we passed that, we, being the flag, they should have sounded the still and brought their ship's company to attention and the officers salute. Well, on the quarterdeck, the still went. But when the people upon the turret with the piano, they struck up the red flag, you see.
On the piano?
On the piano. Well, imagine us. We're all lined in attention and what's that? We were so amazed. What's it all about? We didn't know. Didn't know anything.
Were there any other little incidents like that that made you think, well, something's not quite right?
No, definitely not. It was right out of the blue to us.
I meant anything else like seeing the piano as you came in, any other little things like that?
The people were, instead of being, as you might say, lining properly on deck, ready to spring to the attention, they were lazing around, you see, and things. We saw the piano on the B turret. Yes, it was a B turret. And with that, when the still went, we all sprung to attention on the Warspite. But the Valiant, they struck up with those that were not in the trouble, all sprang to the attention. But just where the piano was, they all sprung to the, sort of got the piano striking up the red flag. And when they finished, instead of coming to attention, they flung their hats up in the air. In contravention to the order of attention, you see.
Carry on with the story. Tell me about the other events, the ones that you saw yourself, I'm particularly interested in.
Well, we were on deck, lined up, ready to anchor and all that, you see. And, the situation was that we anchored, and then the ship's boats went in for mail, things like that, to the distributing ship, which was Guy's ship or anything at the time. I don't know which one it was at the time. And they come back with the rumour that everything was the pay question, you see. Well, shortly after that, we were announced, well, the icebergs had cleared lower deck, and we announced that the pay cut, you see, of which we all had to suffer a bob cut, you see.
Mm.
That was a shilling, irrespective of rank or rating, you see.
What happened aboard Wardspite when
well,
this news was...
Well, as I'm saying, with that, when the rumour got pretty well settled on board, and everything was more or less dovetailed as to how much we both got, all got to suffer, it was a shilling for an ordinary seaman, that was the lowest, and a chief petty officer a shilling, which was unfair to the lower class like the ordinary seamen. And with that, rumour went round, and it just so happened that they took it in their arms. They saw what the other ships were doing, you see, throughout the fleet.
Mm.
Rumours came back by the boats and that, and lo and behold, they got the garden seats and put them on the cables, across the cables, and sat in them so that nobody could get the anchor up. And then, well, there was no case of roughness at all. It was just they took law into their own hands.
Mm. What other sort of things did
they
do?
It was more or less like a passive resistance.
Mm. Apart from stopping the anchor being pulled up, were there any other...
There was no unrest on board whatsoever.
Mm.
No, what you might call, anything violent at all.
Mm. Well, were there any meetings aboard ship?
No, not... I wouldn't say that I saw any myself. I was a torpedo man at the time, later in life party, and I had very little to do with the upper deck in the course of the period that we were in the garden.
Who organised the passive resistance aboard the Wardspite?
Well, I couldn't mention any particular name because I wouldn't know, you see.
Was it focused in any particular branch?
Oh, seaman class. Yeah. Definitely the ordinary seaman. And with that, things just went on ordinary. Work went on ahead, like with the clean of the ship and things like that. Just the unruly ones. Sitting about.
So the majority of the crew carried on with their
routine
duties?
Oh, they carried on ordinary. Yes, the crew of the Wardspite carried on ordinary. There was no sign whatsoever of unrest on board at the time.
Mm. Now, what about the few who who were the main sort of ringleaders? Well, what did they do? What sort of course of action did they take on Wardspite?
No, it was a sort of a mutual feeling. I never noticed any ringleader to it at all. We were so amazed at what was happening around the fleet as one was cheered. Oh, that was one thing which I will mention, that how the word passed around the fleet from airship to the next one. We heard the Valiant singing out air the Wardspite, you see, by saying Wardspite, Wardspite, shouted all the what's that. That was the only sort of what's that you knew that anything was untoward, you see. And then the ordinary seaman in question would take the next one up in line of the Valiant and would sing out V-A-L-I-A-N-T, Valiant. And shout the word Valiant.
So
then the next ship in line would pass so far all round the fleet assembled.
Mm-hmm.
And there was quite a number of ships there.
Mm. How long did the mutiny last?
Well, I should say 4 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other incidents that occurred during those 4 to 5 days that you remember?
Well, we did hear rumors that there had been some incident in the canteen. And they tried to trace who the ringleaders were, on what ship. But everybody there, so we understand, were artful. They had taken their cap ribbons off, you see, so you couldn't identify what ship they came from, whoever was in the canteen.
This was ashore, didn't
you? Ashore.
So you got ashore during...
No, I never went ashore. Uh-huh. And very few of the warspites went ashore.
How did the thing end on warspite? What happened at the end of the
warspite,
5 days?
They cleared lower deck and read something to the belt that all ships were to proceed to own ports, something like that. And with that, the unruly ones like Hazard Class, those who were sitting about, like passive resistance, they just got the garden seats off the cables and allowed them to proceed. And we came back to Portsmouth.
What happened to these few unruly ones?
Now, I can give you the full detail, but I have not wrote it.
Well, just tell me then.
I should have to refer to it in...
Oh, tell me just as you remember.
Well, it's in the Sunday Telegraph. I would class it that what happened on the warspite, that all the people who were the people who were causing the disturbance, they were earmarked, I should think. And the born in reference for future, wasn't he, my dad? Mm. Well, I left the warspite soon afterwards. So what actually happened to the, wasn't he? But reading of the Sunday...
Well, never mind what the paper said. I'm just interested in what you remember. Because I can read for myself.
Yes, okay.
But, so the only occurrence that you can recall during the Invergordon Mutiny, as far as warspite was concerned, was just this preventing the anchor being raised.
That's more or less, yes.
Nothing else at all.
So that we wouldn't be going to sea to carry out ordinary sea duties, et cetera, you see. But there was definitely no trouble on board in the sense of unruliness. Mm-hmm. It was all that they were grieved over the point of the ordinary seaman having to suffer the same cut as a chief petty officer.
Now, it was about this time that you decided to go into the regulating branch. How did that happen?
No, that was nothing to... let's see, was it after that time?
Yes.
Well, the actual... The reason why I left the... I was a leading torpedo operator there, and I was petty officer on board, or a leading... No, I think I was petty officer at the time. And a petty officer was going 12 years before they could get made up to a chief petty officer due to stagnation in the promotion, you see. Well, memoranda came round for people to volunteer for the regulating branch because of shortage in that particular branch. Well, I saw my opportunity there of getting made a chief petty officer type as a master at arms, you see, by turning over to that of a regulating petty officer, of which I did. I volunteered for SATS and was accepted, went into RMB, passed for the regulating petty officer, and I think within 2 years or so, I was a master at arms.
So it was just for reasons
so
of
that,
promotion that you...
Promotion was the only point of view in the...
Now, you went to Victory Barracks for your training. What did the training consist of?
Well, actually, police duties. That is, general routine of the ship. You had, when a rating came aboard, it was victualled in, given a mess, and given a part of the ship where he came under certain petty officers. He was also given action stations according to his rank or rating, you see, and then he came under those particular officers. And for his part of ship, he came under the well, in the case of seamen, which we were then at the time, he would either come under the forecastle, starboard, port, or quarter deck, you see, and he would come under that part of ship for their instructions.
Yeah, but when you went to Victory Barracks to join the regulating branch, yes, what sort of training did they give you there?
Well, there's all that was brought in, you see, how you did the regulating side of the victualling and everything, and how you dispatched the man to draft to sea. First of all, the seaman would go into the mess, and he would see a draft jet. And I then had a draft jet to the regulating side, messes like, that I was to, I think it was in the Vernon where I came. I was torpedoed at the time, and where I volunteered. It's going back some 30-odd years or more. All right, now...